blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop
this mighty move forth.
And with a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner, a captive must be free. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood bought the church that redeemed. Oh, we are.
much I'm thankful to be here and feel the Spirit of the Lord. And I was just thinking, you know, I feel like, you know, it's like Sister McGowan said, it's just so simple. And I was just thinking, you know, to be like a child and just to accept the Lord, no questions asked, no wondering, just how they're so much more receptive to the Holy Ghost and so much more tender to the Holy Ghost. And I thought, I just want to be that way. I want to not think, but God, but this, or, you know, I put up so many, you know, things, you know, with me, nothing's possible. With God, everything's possible. There's not anything that He cannot do, and I want to put boundaries on the Lord, but God, but this, but God, but that. But He's always, like the song said this morning, He's so faithful. No matter where I may go, He's always there. And I was just thinking, you know, this month has been a year since Andrew, Brittany, and Connor moved, and when Rachel moved, and how hard that was, and I just wanted to crawl in a hole and shrivel up and die. But what a difference a year makes, and to see their lives today, and how the Lord's just been there, but God, but there He is again. He's just so faithful, and at times I feel so unworthy to be here, so unworthy. I was thinking this past week, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, I hated the way things were back then, and I wish this wouldn't have happened, and I wish that wouldn't have happened, but I wouldn't be where I am today had I not gone through every single thing that I went through as a child and growing up. And, you know, I've never really talked about being in a church that, you know, being from a church that split, and just how hard that was, and everything that happens with your family and the division, and then to be able to come back together again and just watch time after time, everything, God was there. God was there. He gave me a wonderful husband. I wouldn't be where I am today without Him. And He's just such a strength, and He's my rock. And I was talking to Sister Rochelle today, and she was talking about how Brother John's personality and mine are more similar. We like routine, do things the same way over and over and over and over, and it just takes someone like my husband to get me out of the box and to think and to have fun and to do things that I wouldn't normally do. And I don't feel like I've thanked Him enough for being there for me and for raising our children the way that we have, and I just appreciate the Lord that's been in His life, and that's what drew me to Him, and I'm just so thankful for that and for the life that I have today. And like I said, it's been a roller coaster. But I wouldn't change a day. I'm just so thankful for where the Lord has brought me. And you know, I've often said that, you know, we make plans in our life, and, you know, you make a goal, and this is where you're going to go, and then the Lord says, nope, we're turning right here. No forewarning, nope, here we go. And you just go. You just follow the Lord, because you know He's always been there for you, and you're like, okay, here we go. Let's get out of that routine. Let's go. But I just have such a thankfulness in my heart today, and I just feel so blessed, and to become a part of the Little Rock Assembly. And each one of you has become family to me and have a special place in my heart. And we may not always get to talk or to have that one-on-one, but just to see your face out there is an encouragement to me, and it helps me. And I know that you're going to pray for me when I need it, and I need it a lot, so don't stop. But I just appreciate everyone that's here, and each one of you has a special part to do. I really appreciate today being a part of this family.
Well, I sure was thrilled to be here last Wednesday night. First time in 2 weeks, that old saying, 7 days without church makes 1 week, and so 14 days without church makes 1 weaker, but 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night when I was here, I was talking about how I was going to be more faithful and come more often. And that night on the way to Conway, I blew out a head gasket. And so with my old car, it was more worth, it was going to cost more money than it was worth to get it fixed. So it was, you know, I loved that old car. I mean, it had 93,000 miles on it, but it was good enough for me, and it got such good mileage, and I'd heard those Toyotas would last forever, so I thought I had a lot of miles left in that thing. I guess one thing Jesus and I had in common was he went into Jerusalem on a humble donkey, and I came to church in my humble 91 Toyota. So anyway, it went out, and so I had the money to get it fixed, but I didn't want to put that much money into it. And so I have a weakness. I have a credit card addiction. So I didn't have the money to get a car. So anyway, I told my sister, I said, I don't deserve a car because it's my fault that I got into credit card debt and didn't save my money. And she said, well, you need a way to go to church. So last Tuesday she called and said, well, I'll pick you up tomorrow. We found a car. And so it's a Ford Taurus, and it's only got 43,500 miles on it. So it's really clean, and it makes me appreciate it. However, I feel like maybe my folks have taken advantage of me, because when my father died 10 years ago, my dad had $60,000 in the bank, and I could write checks on it. My sister and my nephew could write checks. But when I filed for bankruptcy 10 years ago on my credit cards, my sister took my name off, so they went through that money, and I didn't get any of it. And then when this house that I'm living in that my nephew had built for my parents 13 years ago, we, as a condition for my nephew building that house, my sister and I had to sign the land over to him. We didn't get anything on that. Then about 2.5 years ago, I started getting natural gas royalty checks on that land my ancestor sold back in the 30s and 40s. 1 month I got a $5,000 check. 1 month I got $4,000. Now I get about $400 a month. But my sister insisted on me giving that all to her. She said, well, since you're living in my son's house, you need to give it all to him, so anything extra. So it seems like I've kind of been taken advantage of. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, relatives are like that when it comes to money. But so it's so good to be here. And so last Monday night, I got a couple that's a Church of Christ people, and they invited me to the Church of Christ service. They had a week-long meeting, so I could just imagine how bored I was going to be. So I just turned them down. And so I know what they've got, but they don't know what I've got. So anyway, the body of Christ operates under one paradigm, and the religious world under another paradigm, and they've got tunnel vision, and we've got tunnel vision. All I can see is this tunnel we're in. So I'm thankful for this tunnel. You know, Brother Lindegar used to say, just because you're financially prosperous does not necessarily indicate the favor of God. And my sister and her husband and my nephew and his wife are about as spiritual as a doorknob, but they've got nice houses, nice vehicles, and money in the bank. But I've got something greater than they've got, because what they've got is going to pass away, but what I've got is not going to pass away. So after being out of church for 2 weeks, it just made it so much more appreciative being here. So thank God for this wonderful spirit we've had tonight. Thank God for all his glory and his blessings.
All of today, I've been pondering how I got here. And when I started out, as a young child. My grandfather was a Nazarene preacher, and of course all of the children were very rebellious. But my mother told me that I can go if I want or not if I want. And every time my grandfather would come by, I went with him. Well, he retired, and they hired another preacher. But I got to sit up in the Amen corner with him. And after a while, they come to him, and they said, "Charlie, you're disrupting the service." He would get up and back the preacher, stand up, and I mean, couldn't do any more than, you know, what we do here. And finally, he just couldn't go to church anymore because he couldn't sit still. The Spirit would move him. So, you know, my grandfather would be just thrilled to death to sit where I sit today, to see this and to hear all that's being heard. But I got moved to start studying the Bible, and I got a couple of positions where I could study and did a lot of it. And people would come by, and we'd be able to talk scriptures and whatever. Got embarrassed a few times. A couple of people says, "Well, where's your pulpit? What are you talking about?" "Well, you got to be a preacher, you know." No, the Spirit was just moving me to talk as I knew that I had studied. And one day I says, "Lord, I'm ready. Send me." Don't ever say that. Within 6 months, I was laying in jail, waiting to go to prison. And when I went before the judge acted in such a way, the whole courtroom just fell down. He jumped up, screamed, hollered, cursed me, and nobody could believe, you know, if anybody is in order, it's the judge. This one wasn't. I went back to my cell, and I knew it was of God. It was out of such disorder. And I got praying, and I've never prayed so deep in all my life. And the Lord gave me a multitude of dreams. And I went to wake up, and I couldn't get up. It was like somebody was holding my shoulders down. And I struggled, and I struggled. And finally, I felt a drop of oil on my forehead. And I was allowed to wake up. And I started speaking in tongues. I've never been taught on the Holy Ghost. Didn't know what I had. But I knew I had something. When I went to prison, I was kept safe. The prison I was sent to is now a supermax prison. It was the worst where they send the worst. And I was only there for back child support. And nobody could believe that. But I spent my time in there unharmed. And at times the Spirit would strike me and people would come around me and couldn't believe that I was aglow in the Spirit. And just, I mean, you couldn't wipe the smile off my face. And just yelling at me, you know, "Don't you know where you're at? You're in prison." No. "I'm free in my Lord. You're in prison." And they would scatter in fear. You could see the fear on their face. Since then, I had gotten out. And the Lord pointed out a person to me. And every time I happened to come across this person, he lit her up with a light so I couldn't miss her. And we would sit and watch television ministries and talk scriptures and different things. And I'd ask her, you know, about this and about that. She'd never give me a square answer. Brother Tucker always said, answer with another question. And she did. But she would tell me she knows where they teach on that subject. And she drove me by here one day, and I pointed out to her, I know this building. It was in my dream. I come by here one night on an errand. The Spirit fell on me in the foyer. I knew it was here. I had been searching churches. It was like walking in Kmart, you know. No big deal. Except when I walked into here. That's been almost 20 years ago. I've not been totally faithful and loyal. I've done what I could. I've seen miracles. I've seen a lot of people come and go. This is home. This is my family. I love you all. And it's about to grow a whole lot bigger. Live your life. Let people see it. Because they'll approach you on the street and they will question you. Why is it you're different? You're not like everybody else. You know, I've seen people try to get up in other people's face and preach to them. Well, if they're not ready for the word, then you ain't going to preach to them. But if they see the word in you, they'll come to you. I used to drive bus for Brother and Sister Bryant, and they would have me take different churches, different places. And there were times that I would end up with a portion of the group talking in the foyer or someplace. And we're talking church here, and the Spirit would be amongst. I mean, I had an opportunity to go places through them I wouldn't have had otherwise. I've been called out in crowds that were just wall-to-wall packed churches. I'm the only person there not in a suit and of my ethnicity. And, you know, usually bus driver, mileage, thank you, be safe. But some people have noticed it. Well, you see him thumbing his Bible. This man loves the Lord. Watch him. Do you like him? I wasn't trying to stand out in the crowd. I was actually trying to hide. But, and then there's been times I've been able to take tapes because I worked in the sound room on bus trips. And people have heard Brother Lineker preach and says, man, that's a preacher. That's the word. We need to be there. And they would be going to the big Pentecostal out on the freeway or some other church. They never made it here in time. The one I'm talking about died of a heart attack before he got a chance to come. There was a person that I was associated with, and he was pretty rough character. And I brought him to church one time. The Spirit broke, and he just about come all unglued because he thought we were crazy. In his last few minutes of life, he asked me to call our ministry to come pray for him. We had to bury him. Just live your life. Let the world see it. They can't miss it. It's the closest they're probably going to get unless God Himself talks to them. God bless you all. I love you all.
When I look back over my life and realize just how truly blessed I am, how can I help but praise your name? When I recall those tough times, Lord, all those valleys and storms that I endured, and how you held me this body of Christ, and that I'm a part, and that you have kept me here. I praise your name. I lift my hands and praise your name. I praise you. How can I help but praise you? I praise your name. I live.
thankful to be here. And I'm thankful for the spirit that we feel. And it's amazing to me how that the spirit can go from jubilant to sober almost like that. But the Lord knows, and there's a little bit for everybody. That's what makes the body of Christ a special place. The well here that we drink from, there's something for everyone. And the young, the old, the rich, the poor. It's a house of God for all. It's a house for all God's people. And the overriding message that we have that helps us maintain our peace and our unity is the message of charity. By us practicing charity with one another, we're able to adjust and make room, allowances, considerations, without anybody breaking. You know, Brother Leonard used to say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not get bent out of shape. And, you know, I wouldn't want to deceive you into thinking that I don't get bent out of shape, because I do at times. And I find myself, typically when that happens, when I feel overwhelmed with frustration or whatever, I typically try to reflect upon my heart. I must be lacking charity. I recognize that there's that I'm lacking enough of God's love in my life that I can't accept something that, you know, doesn't suit me, or something that may not go according to plan. But, and that's necessary. If you feel that way, don't feel like you're the only one. Don't get the big head. Because you're not. We all, I would project that we all feel frustrated or lacking at times in how we deal with each other. And but don't lose fret. Don't fret over it. Don't lose hope. I mean, in that, don't be discouraged, because God is helping us. It's through these experiences and these feelings of emotion and frustration. One minute we can be sober, the other minute sober-minded, the other minute we can be jubilant and happy. It's through all of that that the Lord helps us recognize the spectrum that our will covers. You know, it's easy for us to say, "Lord, have your way," when the Spirit is just flowing and we're just basking in the glory of God. That's an easy moment to say, "Lord, have your way." But there's moments that, even in the church, that it's not so difficult for us to say, "Lord, have your way." There's moments, even when we're sitting here together in this house, that we would prefer things to be differently. And but that's just part of it. It's just part of growing up in the Lord and growing together in the Lord. I'm thankful that we got to go to Nacogdoches, Texas, to the fellowship meeting. My wife and children and brother and sister Tally were able to go also. And we enjoyed ourselves. It was, you know, I like to go to fellowship meetings like that, or even visiting churches, because I don't have to do anything. I don't have to run the PA. I don't have to run the video. I don't have to do, you know, I don't have to do nothing. And I have to be careful, because I'll get lazy. You know, I'll just kind of rest. But we had a good meeting, and the Spirit was strong in the services that we were in. Apparently, there was a day service, and unfortunately, we didn't make it there in time for that. But the Spirit was strong, and the preachers were encouraging the saints to walk upright before the Lord and don't be intimidated by the cares of life and the wiles of the devil. Don't be afraid to stand up and say, I can make it. And it just seemed like the whole meeting really was dedicated to the congregation, to the saint. That's how I felt about the service. And it just seemed like every word that everyone that got up and spake, every song that was sung was dedicated to, come on, we can make it. We're in the body of Christ, and the Lord's called us to this great calling. And be not discouraged, be not afraid. Thank the Lord. He wouldn't have called us if he didn't want us, and He does want us, and that's why He called us. And so I'm really thankful that we got to go, and I received a few things, took some notes, appreciated that. But one thing I received that I've thought about before, and perhaps this may seem juvenile to some, and maybe not so much to others, though, was they were a brother had mentioned that the animals coming on the ark, you know, he talked about how that the Lord put them on the ark. And he went on to talk about how that, you know, the ark was built without a rudder. Who builds a boat without a rudder? The door was on the side and the window was on the top, you know, and things that seem illogical to man, God had it set that way, so that's the way it would be done, and that's exactly how Noah built it. But as he was talking, I began to think about, you know, sitting there by Brother Talley, and I began to think about the animals walking together. You know, you've heard Brother Patton. I think Brother Patton used to say this a lot. Clyde Patton talking about how that the lion would lay down with the lamb, and maybe I'll recount it here. He when they got on the ship on the ark, he said the lion would. He'd see that little lamb over there. He said, "Looky here. There's something different in here." He said, "Out yonder, you'd have been dinner. But in here, you look pretty good. You know, you just look like my friend." And, of course, Brother Patton had his ways, his country way of telling it, which I always appreciated. What a wonderful man of God he was. But I got to thinking about these animals, you know, walking together. But even prior to that, you know, we know the unclean animals went by two and the clean animals went by seven. So here, you know, can you just imagine a pack of wolves, let's say? Can you just imagine a pack of wolves and they're all out, you know, doing their thing, and then all of a sudden, two of them, it's like they get a cell phone call or something. You know, they just perk their ears up. They look at everybody else. And they just take off walking. You know, they didn't talk. We assume that animals don't, you know, I'm sure they communicate. I know that they communicate with each other. Our stupid cat last night, we got home. Hey, they're all stupid. I'm sorry. You know, the cat thinks it's smarter than the dog. I'm not so sure about that. So we got home, and the cat's, I'm out in the yard, and the cat, me and the cat, we have a love-hate relationship. I love for the cat to be outside, and he hates to be outside. So I win naturally because I'm bigger, but he kind of keeps his distance from me, and he should. It's for his well-being and mine too. So anyway, this cat, I'll tell off on myself. We've been gone for 2 days, and so I get home. First thing I do, after I unlock the door and get everything, you know, get my crew pointed in the right direction. Hey, when you have four kids, somebody else can do a little bit of the lifting. not just mom and dad. So once I got them pointed in the right direction of unloading the car and all that good stuff, first thing I do is I go check, make sure my motorcycles are still there. You know, you just never know. You never know. So I'm sitting there unlocking my shop, and this cat is just going to town. I'm just telling you this just because it's silly. And just meowing like I never heard him meow. But he was not talking to me. He was talking to some little feline over in the neighbor's field or something. I don't know what he was doing. But I'm sure that, you know, probably the wolf, that pack of wolves standing there like, hey, buddy, where are you going? You know, hey, we are a pack. Hello. You know, wolves don't live by themselves. We're a pack. Why are you two leaving? And they probably, I don't know, I just feel like I need to go. They just felt an unction. They just felt something inside that said, hey, I can't walk with you guys anymore. And you know, I'm sure it was similar for all the other animals. You can use your own imagination. But I got to thinking about that. And then as they all began to funnel into the ark, you know, it's just like dinner line. You know, they're all, well, where are you from? Well, I'm from the Andes. Well, where are you from? Well, I'm from the Alps. Well, where are you from? You know, and they're probably just chit-chatting, waiting. You know, I'm just being silly, of course, but here they all are all trying to funnel into the ark. And you've got, you know, meat eaters and leaf eaters. And you've got all kinds of what would be chaos. What should have been absolute chaos. And there wasn't any chaos. It was just peace. It was just peace. And it occurred to me that the reason there was peace is because they had all agreed to walk that path. They had agreed to have peace. They had agreed to go in the same direction. What does that proverb say? How can two walk together except they first agree? They had made that agreement amongst themselves. I'm sure that when Mama Wolf and Daddy Wolf set out, they might have thought that they were the only two going. And they probably made that agreement. You know, he probably said, well, we're leaving our family. We're leaving our friends. We're leaving our pack. And they probably agreed within themselves, I know it. It's going to be tough. But we can make it. I feel like we need to go. I feel like that we need to walk this way. I feel an unction. And then they might have got down the road and there might have been a pair of rabbits. Or they might have got down the road and there might have been, you know, some goats and sheep. And you know, next thing they know, they said, well, where are y'all going? Well, we're just going over here to this boat this guy built. Well, that's where we're going. They start agreeing with one another. They start realizing that they're all being led by the same Spirit. Do you know that Ephesians 4 gives us really good instruction? And there's benefits to it all. He said in Ephesians 4 and 1, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You know, those animals might at times felt like they were a prisoner. I'm just imagining, you know, I'm just being a little silly thinking animals can talk and have human thoughts and analyze and rationalize things that are going on. But we're like animals, aren't we? I mean, poor Brother Tally had to sit by a tiger yesterday. Well, he sat by me. What? I didn't, you know, I treated him nice. I didn't growl at him or anything. Might have even scratched your back a little bit, but I did. I did save his seat. Hey, if I'm going to have sat by anybody, I want to be Brother Tally. So I saved him a good seat. But I'm sure those animals at times, they felt, you know, they probably felt the tension. I'm sure there was tension in that ark. I'm sure that they felt like, man, I got to get out of here. This isn't normal. I'm used to feeling the grass between my toes, and I'm used to feeling the breeze on my face, and now all I smell is this odor from the cows and the elephants and the donkeys. And can somebody open the window? You know, I'm sure that there was moments in that ark that there was a lot of tension. But here he says, the prisoner. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. I'm still, you know, there may have been tension there, but I'm still certain that those animals felt the Spirit of God. There had to have been something that was checking their nature. And that's what I'm looking for. That special something, that unction of the Lord that checks my nature, that totally just puts everything, all my hopes, all my wishes, everything that I want to do, I want, just puts it aside and makes God's will my first and foremost priority. And he said to forbear one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Wow. You know, the religious world looks at that like it's a mystery, because they have no interest in peace. They have their doctrines that they line up, that this is what we believe. And if you don't believe it, you're not going. Now, some of them do have an interest of peace with each other, but they don't make peace with the Word of God. They're just compromising just for the sake of collecting together, but that's not what I'm talking about. And that's not what Paul's talking about either, and I'll prove it here in just a second. So, they're not, people out here in the world, they're not interested in peace. When's the last time you heard a political leader of our day mentioned the word peace? When's the last time you had a political leader in our day pursue peace? They don't pursue peace anymore. They pursue war. War here, war there. Well, someone's not getting their way. Well, let's invade that country, and let's overthrow this one, and let's kill those people. And children, generations are being lost. I read a bumper sticker on the way home yesterday. It's the best bumper sticker I've ever seen. It said, "War is not working. War is not working." You want to know why the economy in this nation is so poor and the world's economy is so poor? It's because we're at war and not working. War is not working. It's destroying families. It's destroying generations of families. It's destroying communities. Children are growing up without their fathers and without their mothers, maybe in some cases both. We're losing leaders and great minds all for the expense of war. God, help us to pursue peace. Jesus is a Prince of Peace. And here Paul's telling the Ephesian church, he said, forbearing one another in love. He said, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering. He didn't say just lowliness just for 5 minutes until so-and-so gets their way. He said, with all lowliness, with all meekness, with all long suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, peace brings something. It brings happiness. You know, those animals, when they went to get on the ark, they probably felt a measure of satisfaction. I'm certain that Noah and his family felt an incredible measure of satisfaction when it started raining. I would, you know, if you liken people to animals, but maybe I'll just stick with Noah and his children, his sons and daughter-in-laws and his wife. I imagine that when they felt the rains slapping the sides of that ark, I would imagine that they started crying. There was probably a gratitude that came up in their heart that God had reached down his hand and touched them and let them see that they needed to build an ark for safety. Wow. I imagine that they probably sat there and hugged each other and cried and let out a praise maybe like they had never let out in their life. He said, there is one body, one spirit, and even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now notice this next verse, and you can write in here, you're included. And you could even say, instead of us, you could say me. Or every one of us, you could say me. He said, but unto every one of us, but unto me, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. If you're here tonight, it's because God's touched you, just like he did me. We all come from so many different backgrounds. You know, some people, it's like Brother Smith said, it can be unfair. I didn't grow up in the body of Christ. I grew up as a young Baptist boy. God reached down his hand and he touched me. He touched me above all my family. Is it unfair? Sure. I mean, I can't help it. I'm not God. But by the help and grace of God, my children sat here today. And I'm endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit amongst us so that we all continue to walk the same way. That's my desire. I hope that's your desire. God's given you grace. He's given you a measure of grace. And people come and go. Be careful how you focus your attention on people that come and go. I was thinking about this in yesterday's meeting. And I mentioned this to Brother Talley. The Bible says that in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, the first chapter, it says, it goes on through let's see. Peter, he's mentioning these various things that lead us to charity. And I'm not going to read all of it, but he talks about add to your faith in the fifth verse. 2 Peter, first chapter, verse 5. He said, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now, I went through those quickly, but that's not to diminish their significance, because they're more significant than even what I'm about to focus on. But I want to point this out. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice this next verse. He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And I was in that meeting yesterday. I was thinking about we were thinking about the vision. I was thinking about the vision that we have, and what would cause me to go? How do you go blind? How do you forget where you came from? How do you look in a mirror and forget yourself? You know, that's people do, though. He said, he that lacketh these things is blind and hath forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. And so I began to study on that just a little bit. And you know, I boiled it down to this. If I think that if I get the idea that I'm here because of something that I've done, then I just forgot about all the things that God did. If I get the idea that my accomplishments are because of what I'm doing or what I've done, if I turn my focus off of the things that God did onto the things that I did, what have I lost? I can't see the things that God saved me from. I can't see the sins that He purged me from. I can't see the things that He delivered me from, because I'm still focused on the things that I'm doing. My heart's desire is to forget about me. My heart's desire is, if I'm a lion or if I'm a lamb or if I'm a goat or a sheep or a bull or an elephant or a giraffe or an owl, my heart's desire is to forget about all that. Forget about the things that I am. And focus and keep my focus on the things that God is. And whatever I am to Him, whatever instrument that He can make out of me, whatever joyful noise that He can produce in my life, praise God. Whatever it is, you know, David said, just to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. My God, help us all. If we could only appreciate how significant the power of God is working in our lives, as we're focusing on Him and not on our own significance. Just imagine how great the kingdom of God would be through His people. We're in a great place. This isn't about you. It's not about me. It's not about big preachers, little preachers. It's not about great singers or not so great singers. It's not about any of those things. It's all about praising Him. Praise God. I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm thankful that the Lord allowed us to go to the meeting. I'm thankful for this assembly and Brother and Sister Smith and their leadership and the ministry in this church. I truly am thankful. Let's endeavor with each other to walk together. Let's get our vision focused on the Lord and all these other things, these peripheral things and these things that we don't understand, and people's faults and failures and their histories and their mistakes and things like that. Let's not focus on those. I mean, there's times to focus on them, but I'm assured that if we need to focus on some of those things, Brother Smith he'll give us a red flag. Say, hey, you need to watch that. Rather, let's focus on the Lord. Let's focus on working together. Let's focus on worshiping together. Let's focus on studying together and growing together and building together, praise God. Let's focus on healing together. Let's focus on having joy together and singing together, praise God. Let's focus on praising together, lifting up His name together, hallelujah. Let's focus on being an example together. Let's focus on encouraging one another, hallelujah. Oh God, we're in a great place, saints. We're in the house of God, hallelujah. God gave us grace to be here, praise His name. Oh, thank God, aren't you happy to be here today? I know I am, praise the Lord. We're in the wonderful body of Christ the Lord's added us to. He's given us a measure of grace. Let's focus on it. Let's stay together. Let's work together. Let's worship together, praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
about the good things
God has done.
Think about the victories God has won.
Don't think about how you were down and out. Think about how God brought you out. Think about the sweet, sweet Spirit of God laid down in your soul.
Think about how God brought you out.
Well, while you're home this week, think about the good things that God has done. Oh, God, I'm so thankful. We've been had a good day today, good service tonight. I feel like it's been a young folk service tonight, and I got to be a part of it. Praise the Lord. So it's been good to be here. I'm appreciated the good things we, Brother Painter, expressed about the meeting. It was a good meeting. Overpacked. They had, of course, Brother Painter called us and said he saved seats for us, so we knew we had a seat. But when we walked, when we drove up on the parking lot, he said the overflow space is in the dining room. But I told him, I said, well, we think we got a seat. So anyway, we did. But anyway, it was overpacked. Good spirit, good people, God's people. And I'm just glad to be a part of them. So let's thank the Lord for this night. Anything we need to announce? No announcement. Yes, ma'am.
Save the date for reception. September 6th, Friday evening. We're going to have a reception for Brother Phil and Sister Chelsea.
This is coming Friday?
No, it's the Friday after Labor Day.
Okay. Everybody hear that.
September 6th. 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Yes, sir.
September the 6th.
And I've talked to quite a few people. This isn't a secret. They know about it. I've asked, if I haven't talked to you yet, I've either talked to your wife or I'm getting to you. But I've asked everybody to give us a little information to kind of help with that evening. So, and I really need that ASAP. So if you could get it to me this week, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank the Lord for this. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you,
God.
Go with your people, Lord. Let's see. Hallelujah. Praise God.
You need to say something? I'm sorry.
You can be